Good morning, all. Karen, how are we doing on a quorum? Well, we don't need a quorum, do we?
Nope, we don't need a quorum. We have a couple people still filtered in through the...
There are 22 people online right now.
Yeah. Yeah, but like you said, John, we don't need a quorum for...
Do we want to wait a couple minutes or we want to get going?
I think we can start roll call. I think that's fine.
All right, let me... I will call the CROG Cost Review Subcommittee meeting for Monday, June 28, 2021 to order. And Karen, if you would be so kind as to call the roll.
Thanks, John. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to start off with the town of Handover. Bloomfield.
Present. John Coleman.
And Jonathan Tesey.
Bolton.
Patrice Carson's here.
Coventry.
Sorry about that. Todd Penny here.
East Hartford. East Windsor. Ellington.
Corey Spielman, Town of Ellington.
Field, Farmington, Glastonbury, City of Hartford,
Sandy Fry,
Manchester, Hebron,
Kevin Kelly's here,
Manchester,
Jeff Lamoliver's here,
I don't know,
Mansfield. Marlboro, the City of New Britain,
Mark Moriarty,
and Rob Trottier,
Newington, Plainville, Rocky Hill,
Steve Soplak is here, and Jim Salmi for his last meeting.
Thank you. Summers. I'm sorry, Simsbury. South Windsor.
Jeff Doolittle here.
Southington. Stafford. Suffield.
Karen Isherwood.
West Hartford.
Wayne Martin.
Wethersfield.
Eric Greger here.
Willington. Windsor.
Adam Kessler.
And Windsor Locks. That's it, John. Thank you.
Kirk Severance, Granby.
Oh, thank you.
Russ Darren Arnold.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Russ.
Russ Arnold, Farmington. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
And Karen Jeff Shea, Simsbury.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Good morning, all. Anyone else that Karen didn't call? Hearing none, we'll move on to the public forum. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to address the committee at this time? Again, hearing none. Move on to the adoption of the minutes of our meeting we held on May 24. I'd entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved, Lori Spielman. Ellington.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Patrice Carson will second.
Thank you, Patrice. Any additions, deletions, corrections? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
Hebron, Kevin Kelly.
Thank you. Any other abstentions?
Sorry. Arnold.
Any others?
Jeff Shea, Simsbury.
Karen Isherwood, Suffield.
Four abstentions. Any others? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Thank you all. We'll move on to item four, which is the Lots of draft selection policy, and I'll turn it over to Satoria and Rob.
I think Satori's going to share her screen.
Okay.
Satori, are you on mute?
Okay, yes, okay. I am. Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't sure if I was muted or not. So, okay. Everyone can see the draft memo, correct?
Okay. Yes.
So, at last month's meeting, we discussed the LOSIP solicitation funding and timeline, the amount of potential project selections based on the anticipated budget from the state. So just to reiterate, you know, if you look at this memo, we have proposed 38 million of LOSIP projects with subset categories. And so those are down here on the bottom, and those are identified in the memo. Each category has increased as well as the maximums per project. So we also have, I added the maximums per projects here on the bottom. We also revised the dates to reflect the discussion that we had at the last meeting. All the dates were pushed back 1 month to align more closely to municipal budget timelines, which is what was indicated at the last meeting. So instead of I think it was October, November, we changed it to September for the issue date. And that's when the letter to the municipalities will be issued for the solicitation. And then the due date for the proposal will be in January of 2022. So that's actually when the proposals are due to CROG. So we want to make sure that we reflected those changes. So our goal today is to review the aspects of the selection policy. And with the intent is to approve or to have it approved by the committee in July. So with any changes that are made today. So we highlighted the text that was revised for your review. And I'm not going to go through every single modification because some are minor revisions and some are pretty self-explanatory. So if I pass through a change or a highlighted text, that's the reason for that, unless a member would like to discuss it. I will, however, review the items brought up at the last meeting and others that we thought worth mentioning. So generally, just the first item I'd like to mention is on page 4. And this is the incentive projects that we added to the selection policy. So this is added text regarding the incentive projects. And this is just to document the practice that we typically participate in by conditionally awarding high-ranking projects to municipalities that already had two projects in design. So advancement would be contingent on that municipality completing a design, the design of one of the two before the third one is advanced. So we thought it was important to document this practice that we've had in place for pretty much a long period of time. So, and then briefly at the last meeting, I mentioned the project rating criteria and some of the changes. So I wanted to focus on that section today and review some of the differences from the 2020 solicitation. And if anyone has a question about throughout the discussion or at the end, you can use the raised hand feature and Ryan will call on you or John to ask a question. So, you know, feel free, or we can just wait until the end. So the first rating criteria is the reconstruction projects. And so as you can see, the maximum point for structural improvement is 14 points and traffic safety and operations is 21. So just to kind of show you, first of all, the total points of 120 has not changed. The 14 points was changed from 15 at the 2020 solicitation, and the safety was actually increased by 5 points from 16 points to 21 points. And the reason for that is because there's more emphasis on traffic safety and performance measures. So there's a regional safety plan that was out in 2020. And so a lot of municipalities are focused on addressing safety issues in their municipalities. So we wanted to make sure that that was reflected in our rating criteria. So we did remove the accelerated project delivery points only because they're very subjective. And we did add, derived from a corridor study, long range transportation, we added 1 point. So those were the only changes that were made in this specific category in the reconstruction. And just to kind of go through, I'll go through very briefly each one on there. So as you can see in the structural improvement, we also included bridge or culverts. And the bridge is typically, the bridges typically do not compete very well with reconstruction projects, but staff recommends to the committee to retain the bridge projects in this solicitation and possibly revisit and review the financial status of the LHASA program in 6 months to determine if it's feasible to have a separate bridge solicitation, you know, if funds permit. So that's one thing that we did add to the structural improvement to add the bridge. In the traffic safety and operations, as I mentioned before, we aligned it with the CROG Regional Transportation Safety Plan and also performance measures. So that was the reason for the 21 points instead of the 16 points, which was from the last solicitation. There were no changes in points for the traffic volume. We did add bike and pedestrian volume in the event that someone wants to use those volumes in ranking their project. And then regional significance, we just added that it could also, the project could also be derived from a state or CROG bike network map. So that previously, even though we used that criteria, it wasn't actually documented. So we wanted to document that. In the environmental, we wanted to add additional information under the green infrastructure because it's relevant now. As of June 30th, 2020, under the MS4 permitting regulations, municipalities are supposed to calculate the directly connected impervious area, which is a DCIA. And so, and they're supposed to develop a plan to prioritize a retrofit projects to disconnect the DCIA. And as of 2021, it's 1% annual DCIA disconnection. So we wanted to just add that in there in the hopes that the town start to address DCIA. And it's another item that we would review when awarding points. So we put that in for that specific reason. And then in complete streets, this did not change the 16 points. The question surfaced at the last meeting regarding the point structure. And in the reconstruction category, as you can see, projects can receive up to 16 points. The points in the actual complete streets policy that was adopted by the policy board in January 2020, those points were eliminated, but they were actually retained in the selection policy at the last solicitation. And one of the reasons staff recommends retaining these points, and some of the reasons are it's a competitive solicitation, and this would help elicit good capital improvement projects throughout the region. And it also would review complete streets. We would review complete streets appropriateness. So for example, are sidewalks appropriate in this area? Is a bike lane appropriate on this roadway? So those things would be also reviewed. The rural set aside was increased from 3.6 million to 4 million. And staff has offered to help municipalities with suggestions on how to integrate complete streets components into the applications. We plan to provide a contact when the solicitation is issued. So currently there's not a contact for that. And then these are pretty much what we had mentioned before. No major changes. And then on the pavement rehab projects and the bike projects, there were no changes in the point allocation. So both solicitations were 50 points. All we did was added extra detail to show the municipalities what we use to rate and rank the project. So a little more detail so that you have more information as to how the project will be ranked. So that's in pavement rehab and also in the bicycle pedestrian project, standalone projects. The rating is, the possible points are the same, 50 points. And then as you can see, it's just more information, more detail on how these projects are rated and then ultimately ranked. So is there a town center? How does it connect gaps? So those are all things. Does it connect to senior housing, a library? So we wanted to add more detail so that the municipalities knew more, had more information going forward. So that's it for the selection criteria. Are there any questions and from anybody? Or comments?
Well, one thing I just want to emphasize is we'd love to hear any comments now, because next month we are, as Satoria said, we are acting on this. So if any changes are needed, it would be best for us to talk about them now, so that we hold our schedule that we're trying to hold going forward. So
speak up now, folks.
I'll start.
Okay.
On pavement rehab, Rob, are we at a 20-year pavement lifespan? So everybody knows what to design to?
We did meet with DOT, and they assured us that pavement rehab was not out of the question anymore, that nothing had really changed. But unfortunately, even since we've had that meeting with the LOTSIP group, we received some comments from the pavement unit at DOT referencing a 20-year again.
Right.
So we have a meeting scheduled. Unfortunately, they couldn't meet before this meeting. We have a meeting scheduled, I believe it's for next week or the week after, with the pavement unit. What I've put in here is that it should be appropriate for the PCI, the treatment appropriate for the PCI. Hopefully I'll have more guidance by the time these are finalized. But we are pushing to allow a 15-year, and we think that's appropriate.
I agree with your philosophy, but the reality is they're going to slam 20 years on us, just like they did here in Marlboro. So let's not delay ourselves in the review process with the very fine department. In all seriousness, it adds costs later on. I think, you know, one of the things we also, are we going to require people to do PCIs and cores? So now that we have more stable pricing when we are all submitting, and try to control some of these cost increases down the road. Not anybody's fault, but it's the boat we're in.
That is all stuff that we did talk to the department about it, but unfortunately we didn't talk to the pavement unit. And it seems like we're getting different feedback from each.
Should we, in this solicitation, develop that in our own policy and just avoid this conversation that's back and forth in the unknown?
Yes. Well, we definitely want clarification from their pavement unit, and I want it in writing, and so that I know what to put in this policy. And so far we don't have that, unfortunately. You know, it seems wishy-washy, which is unfortunate. We had a few suggestions for them. One is to is to allow lots of funds to be spent on a pavement review consultant that they approve so that DOT doesn't have to be the entity. And it seemed like they were hesitant to do that. But I'm hoping to get more clarification in the next, within the next 2 weeks.
Rob, can I say something?
Yeah.
So as Peter indicated, you know, I agree. This whole change is cost, not only cost, but time. And now all these department, different departments at the DOT all should be going through under Hugh Hayward. And this program started back so we can reduce these time, these reviews. But yet they're still putting everything in. They're reviewing it like it's a STP urban program project. That's what I'm struggling with, that these are our roads or whatever we're using the money for and getting approved through our whole process, but yet they're reviewing it and they can just arbitrarily just say, nope, we're going to do this now. That's what I find I'm frustrated with, not only for me, but for us as a region, that they arbitrarily pick and choose what rules they want to follow.
So, yeah, we did talk to Hugh about that, and Hugh did acknowledge that the reviews have been getting too detailed, and he said it was a more of a personnel issue, and that he's trying, and a training issue of his staff, and that he's trying to, he did acknowledge that, and that he's trying to get the review comments less intensive.
Trying and getting it done, or not to interrupt you, but
yeah,
this isn't our first you know, rodeo here, and it's like, well, who's in control? And not only does this, you know, the 15 or 20 year payment life, it is what it is, but it's the time and it never ends. That's, to me, we're back where we are. We're 10, 15 years ago where it just goes and sits in a dark hole. That's the frustrating part. And nothing, you know, as you guys all know, they don't want phone calls because they want everything in writing to track things. And it nothing has gotten better. And not that COVID has helped, but if we needed to do something here, we get on a meeting and we get it straightened out and get it and handle it. There, they got to have 15 or 20 people now at a meeting, and you don't know who's there. Nobody talks but one or two people. So it's just, I don't know, it's frustrating.
I agree with you. We outlined a couple possible solutions for them, and the only thing they seemed to bend on was the pavement, the 15-year pavement. But then again, we're getting these reviews that are saying 20.
Right.
So I have we do have a meeting with the pavement, but unfortunately, we might have to push a little harder on the other suggestions I had. One was that they do their reviews in tandem with our review, consultant reviews, and not just arbitrarily. You know what I mean?
Right.
Especially if it's on a state roadway, that they buy into the 3 weeks between the submission and the onboard review, and they provide their comments at that time. They weren't willing to buy into that. And I don't know how to fix that, because they do make the rules right now. So we can keep working on it, Russ.
And listen, I don't want anyone to take my comments as a negative comment against you or your staff, Rob. That's not where I'm at. We're all on the same team here. It's just, no matter what we do, we just keep getting stuck in the mud with these people, and they don't care. It's more just bureaucratic BS if you want it from me, but it's just tiring, and we're going backwards. We're not going forward, and it's not, and by no part of CROG staff or anything that you people are doing. I don't want that to be misconstrued at all. I mean, you guys know I support CROG 100%. You guys do a great job, and this is completely on the DOT.
Rob, if I could jump in for a minute. It seems to me that, and I would suggest you and Sotoria, probably Kara, have a conversation with Lyle, but it seems to me that the time's come to push this up the flagpole a bit. One, I'm hearing that we're getting conflicting reviews by within the department, and no one's resolving that, which is obviously an issue. They all answer to someone further up the line, and that person's got to step in and start resolving things. the delays that everyone's now experiencing, and going back to STB. And I think they probably took advantage of COVID to use that as some of an excuse. It seems to me that some senior people from CROG need to meet with the deputy commissioner above at CONDOT, and all, if necessary, the oversight individual from the governor's office. I mean, this has been going on far too long now. We're hearing the same issues time after time. You've been knocking your head against the wall for well over a year and a half now on the same issues. And I think that, there has been changes in staff and they need to understand this is a local program. It was intended not to be done the way they would do it with the federal program, particularly on our own roads. And we need to get it sorted out one way or the other. And, I think we need to, suggestion to the governor's office that maybe this discussion might go public. And I don't mean public in this committee. I mean public. And I don't think they would want that out there, because it would not look very favorably on their efforts to improve efficiency, quote unquote, in the government. But I think it's we've dilly-dallied long enough, and we've talked about doing this, and I, for one, would urge us to do it sooner than later.
John, I can't agree with you more, and I can't agree with Russ said and about CROG staff. This has nothing to do with you. You do more than what you need to do. But they hide behind the legislation says to operate it under the federal system. That's their answer. We're following the law. And I know people don't want a legislative change, but somehow if they won't do it policy-wise, that's the answer I always get from Hugh, from Bill, in any conversations I've had with them. It's just they go back and hide to that. This is what the legislation says, and this is what we're doing. And it does put us back where we were almost.
And I think we're going to have to tackle that sooner than later.
And I'll tell you what's very disappointing and truly is, Rob, is the disrespect, as far as I'm concerned, they show you guys. When we met with them with Kathy Olson, we went through all that. They were supposed to meet with you guys quarterly to go through our projects as the largest customer. They've never done it. I mean, that's the part that's very frustrating. Excuse me. In all seriousness, you're supposed to be an ally. They treat you like a lost child we don't want to see. And then we have to ask MAI to submit applications. It's archaic. So I'm going to stop.
Any other comments?
Steve in Rocky Hill had his hand raised earlier. If he still has a question.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the same page as Russ. So we've discussed this offline ourselves, but some of their policies, it's our road. It's simple mill and pave. One time they tell me one thing, the next time it's all of a sudden more stringent. I got to go to SHPO and the environmental people. It's a mill and pave. I don't do that when I mill and pave my own road. Why do I have to have all this special language written into this contract? Because I'm milling and paving with federal dollars. So I just got to agree with Russ. Thanks.
Well, Rob, I think we know where the overriding concerns are. Everyone seems to be generally comfortable with the policy. And the work very comfortable with the work the staff has done and is doing. But I think we need to develop a strategy to deal with the folks in Newington. And my sense is it needs to be a pretty broad strategy that deals directly with them, probably involves the governor's office, and maybe involves the appropriate legislators to begin to get, you know, make it clear, as most states around the country, when they do these types of programs, it becomes a municipal program to improve, you know, to do it much more efficiently at the local level and have a little faith in the folks at the local level. You know, we're not a bunch of know-nothings.
Yeah, I think a lot of this and a lot of what they get their hands in when it's not their road is the design life. And that's what they hang their hat on for the pavement and everything else. And if we could, I mean, if we can't get them to agree that our own sign off by a professional engineer on the design life is sufficient, then we do have to probably change the legislation to have municipal oversight of this whole program, I guess. If that's what I'm hearing.
And Rob, one more thing, not to belabor this at all, but they got into my review and they want to start changing my details. And that's part of the reason we did this whole program, was to utilize our details and what works for us. And they now, part of my, one of my review comments, a couple of my review comments were to change the details to mimic the DOT. Well, our details have been in place for, I don't know, 72 years. We haven't had a problem yet. And it's just, it's not stopping. That's the problem. So I don't mean to keep harping on it, but it just, I agree with what John said. It's, we got to push this up the ladder. And the one thing is, you don't even know who, like, you don't hear about the commissioner, you don't hear anything. I'm not trying to badmouth the person, but before you knew who the commissioner was, you knew who the DOT team was. Now it's just kind of fading into the woodwork. Again, I just, you know, thank Krog and what you guys are doing. If this isn't anything against what you guys are doing or will continue to do as well.
Well, let me just say too, is that they're aiming to get out new guidelines. DOT is, and they aren't less restrictive. They actually are clarifying in some cases, but actually, you know, have some more. More rules and regulations, especially regarding right of way. So I think we are going, you know, in a direction that's more restrictive, even in writing. So maybe that does have to, I guess what I'm hearing is that has to be addressed and go the other way.
The other thing
we need some legislative change.
Yeah. I agree. And what's going to happen now next year when, you know, the DOT people I've talked to, they're talking like 25-30% of them are retiring next July or at some point in 22. So what's going to happen then with this program? Not only for us, but for the state. So if they're losing a quarter of their staff, and I mean, I've talked to six or seven individuals who are going starting in March to next July. So I don't know what the answer is going to be there.
I think that has to be our, and that's what I tried to use as some rationale during this informal meeting with DOT. Lots of, is that this would benefit all you guys if you turn over the reins, you know, more.
100%.
Hey, Rob.
Yep.
Just to jump in on the conversation a little bit, I just sent a project back after DOT review. Now, VHB did our design for the pavement and recommended a reclamation at 14 inches, and DOT came back wanting 16 inches. And I just wanted to call them out for the nitpick a little bit, because two inches more on a reclamation, I didn't see any benefit by it other than just tying things up a little bit. But just a comment, but thank you for all your guys' help. Appreciate it.
Rob, I know it puts you guys in a, you know, in an awkward position, and it may be time that some of us have to really carry the load in terms of having a really strenuous conversation with them. And I think there's more than enough of us that are willing to do that, but it may be necessary for not just Krog to meet with them, you know, Krog staff, but members of the committee and maybe members of the policy board to really to impress upon Condat how serious we are about this, and the governor's office, how serious. So I, you know, I'd have a strategy conversation with Lyle about what he thinks, and you know, we may want to talk to the mayor as well.
Okay, we'll do.
But you know, this obviously affects everybody, and we don't want to compromise what you're, all the great work that you're doing. And you know, it may be necessary if we got to get tough that that we need to do it, not you. You being the staff.
Yeah, I'll talk to Lyle. We'll strategize, and we'll go from there. And we'll have more info in July. Maybe it needs a working group kind of thing even before then, with, you know, depending on what comes out of our discussions.
That may be, but what I'm sensing is that something's got to come on from on high.
Yeah, you know,
they need to be. Condat may need to be directed, and in turn, they need to direct staff. And I'm not sure that those you're dealing with now are either able or willing, probably less willing than able, to make changes. And for all we know, the senior management isn't even aware of what we're going, of the conversations that you're having.
Yeah, I don't think they are.
All right, any other comments on the draft selection policy? Hearing none, that'll be on the agenda for our July meeting for action. Just a word on that as an aside. Patrice, can you chair that meeting? I will be out of town.
Yes, I can, John.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. You're welcome.
Though I guess there's no reason I can't join by Zoom if I have it. Where I am, internet is spotty, but I can try and join if I'm not out in the middle of the water.
No problem.
Any other business? Is that the next meeting is scheduled for July 26th. So if there is no other business, we can take a 20-minute sojourn and reconvene at noon for the full committee.
And I guess I John?
Yes.
I can't find my raise hand button for some reason. I do have a question regarding kind of what we were just discussing, and Rob brought it up. And I know it's on the agenda for the main meeting, but I'm wondering to what if there's any benefit in potentially discussing the proposed right-of-way, their proposed right-of-way changes or policy at this meeting. Or maybe we can't because it's not on the agenda.
It's not on the agenda, so we probably can't. But thanks for trying. Okay, a motion to adjourn is in order.
Patrice Carson, so moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Lori Spielman. Can I ask a point of clarification? Should we stay on this or rejoin the meeting in 20 minutes for the Zoom purposes?
We're going to leave it open, so if you want to stay on, you are welcome to.
Great.
It'll be the same link.
Just easier. Okay, thanks.
Yep. Thank you.